All right, welcome into Armchair Champions. I almost said the wrong name for a second there, so that would have been good. But yeah, it's a Tuesday morning, and I'm back. Obviously, I wasn't here last week because I was at Mountain West Media Days, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But how have you been?
I've been doing pretty good. I'm kind of surviving the summer. I mean, summer's pretty boring for sports, at least for me. I'm not a huge baseball follower, which I probably should be. I have no reason to not follow it. But, I mean, I'm bigger into basketball and football, and so this is really the slowest part of the year. There is some soccer, which I do enjoy, but I don't know. Soccer just feels slow-paced as well.
Right.
So.
But, yeah, even they had a little bit of a break a couple weeks ago, but they are doing, the International Champions Cup, which I watched part of one game the other day, and that was, it was pretty interesting. There was this sweet goal by Suarez dished it to, I don't even remember the other guy's name. It was kind of a difficult name, but he went between the defender's leg and back and just set it up perfectly for his teammate to just kick it in. It was awesome.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have.
I probably should have. I mean, I guess I'm just sitting in my misery and I'm missing what's going on around me. Should stop and smell the roses a little bit.
Yeah, you should.
Although, the one bit of, I guess, soccer thing, the one that I did catch up on was Real Salt Lake, since I follow them, at least the closest, even though it's not the greatest soccer. But they beat the Philadelphia Union on Sunday 2-1, which definitely made me happy because they've gone six games without winning a game. They had 4 draws and 2 losses.
Yeah, and that's one thing that drives me nuts about soccer is that you can just draw half the time or more than half sometimes. It's just it's kind of frustrating for me because I'm why are you drawing? Why is that a thing? Why can't you just, make sure there's a winner of each game?
Yeah, it is pretty frustrating to have that because you don't really have that in really any other sport. In football, you'll occasionally get a draw every few years. You might have one. But then it's just one, and that's after they've played forever and a day of football, and they're all too tired to continue anyway. But yeah, in soccer you can get a lot of draws. That's why playoffs are more exciting, because they actually do decide to determine a winner.
Yeah, and that's always good. It drives me nuts when they don't. And that's why I have a harder time getting it as into soccer. I mean, that's part of it. Other part of it is I just feel like football and basketball are more exciting.
Yeah, that is something, because there's more is happening in football and basketball. More so in basketball, it's seemingly nonstop. And I've kind of come to the decision that it just takes a special person to like soccer. A certain type of person, I guess you could say. Because for me, when I watch a soccer game, I get excited. I'm excited the whole time through. In the same way that it would be for a basketball and football game. And maybe it's because I've played it and I understand it a little more and I can get excited. But and for some people, the fact that you can go through an entire game, nobody scores at all, that's a real turnoff, and I get frustrated too when that happens, because it's boring as heck.
that is true. But, I mean, the one thing about it, if you just look at the scores, you're going to say, oh, soccer is, really boring to watch because they only score a couple times a game max. But if you're watching it, there's a lot of, energy and, emotion that goes into each time they almost score.
Yeah.
That it kind of makes up for, I guess, and it makes the goals themselves so much more impactful on the game. So
you get a lot more excited for a goal when you do a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because that might be the only one your team gets.
Yeah. Or hopefully the only one the other team gets.
Yeah, hopefully.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess today you wanted to talk a little bit about Mountain West Media Days, and also you wanted to talk about our NFL predictions. What do you want to jump into first?
I wanted to go into the Mountain West Media Days. That's probably the thing most interesting for us around here in Logan, especially since, this is the slow part. Things are actually starting to pick up. You get into Mountain West Media Days, the football practices for the Aggies are going to start on Friday, and NFL training camp started, but again, we're going to get into the Mountain West Media Days. So first, really, starting with some of the predictions that came out of the projections, you might say, as far as preseason, all conference, and also where the media predicted everybody would finish. And I want to start with that, with who's predicted to win the divisions. And so for the Mountain Division, the one that Utah State is in, Boise State received 27 of the 29 first-place votes. And so, and they're really good. I read one article or thing this guy put together on one site, and he predicted that Boise State would finish 12-0. He thought they were going to go undefeated, which I guess is conceivable. They are pretty good. What do you think about that?
Well, I do recognize that they are a good team. However, I don't think that they're going to go undefeated. I mean, they could win the Mountain West, or at least the Mountain Division.
Yeah.
I feel like whoever wins the Mountain Division should win the conference.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, they're a good team, but I'm really, really biased and optimistic about Utah State all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see us being able to win that too. So, I mean, they can win, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they weren't the ones that won, because there's some good teams, and I think that we're good enough to beat them. I think that, you know, Air Force won last year, so, I mean, they should be the favorites going in.
Yeah.
They still have a lot of their guys back, even though they did graduate some, but I guess some of their bigger names are coming back. But their coach is pretty cool. Like, we had the opportunity to interview him. You can find that on our website, aggieradio.com. But, yeah, we had the opportunity to interview a bunch of different coaches. We talked to Coach Harson from Boise State. You know, he was a really cool guy, and was really nice, and he even recognized that, you know, we have kind of a rivalry with them, and he said that it's, you know, going to be a tough game every year. We talked about how, you know, 2 years ago they blew us out, and last year we blew them out, and I think this year he kind of expects it to be a little bit more even, so to say. But yeah, he was really cool, and it was fun to talk to him. He's high on his team, obviously. They have a lot of good players coming back. Their quarterback did pretty well as a freshman, and he'll be even better coming back. And so, yeah, they're definitely going to be a tough team to beat, but I believe in our team, and I think that we can beat them.
Yeah, I think that's something that not a whole lot of people are giving love to Utah State. I guess they kind of see them as this, like, right where the media put them, because they put Boise State number one in the division, Air Force number two. They got two of the other two first place votes that Boise State didn't get. Then you have Utah State, Colorado State, New Mexico, and Wyoming. And so I think, you know, I agree with you, Utah State has a chance. And, you know, if things go their way, and I think they can be good this season. I mean, their offense looks to be good. They've got the running backs back. They got Kent Myers. And you hope the wide receivers step up after almost everyone in the receiving corps left. But yeah, I do think that if Utah State can pull off some of their games, because I looked at their schedule, and again, some of the people I was looking at, they're seeing Utah State going like 6-6, right around that 500 mark. And I think that's a fair prediction right now, but I think Utah State definitely has the potential to go and do better than that, you know, 7-5. Even 8-4, if they can win some of the games that are kind of a toss-up at this point. Because, I mean, right now, look at their schedule. I think you'll pull it up. I mean, they start out against Weber State. You know, they're expected to win that. Then they go to USC, and I think most people expect that to be a loss. That'll be a really hard game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that one is it'll be very difficult to win that game just because of how much talent USC has, and also that you're playing in Los Angeles, where it's going to be extremely loud, probably louder than anywhere that you'll go, because there's going to be almost 100,000 people there. And so it definitely will be a tough game. It's not out of the question for them to win. They have been able to play really tough with some other guys, or some other teams in the past, some big name teams. But I wouldn't expect them to win, but I do expect it to be competitive and to only lose by like 10 points.
Yeah. And you'd certainly hope that we win. But, yeah, the next game you have Arkansas State, and that's kind of another one you expect to win. Kind of the first, like, kind of toss-up game you might see is against Air Force at home. So you think, you know, at home, certainly give Utah State the edge. But again, Air Force is a good team. And so you think this is the first one where they can lose. And they probably should win. But still, it can go either way.
Yeah. Going back to Arkansas State, though, we did lose to them the one time we played them a couple years ago. So it's not necessarily a shoo-in game. Yeah. I do expect us to come out and win that one easily. But going into it, you have to keep that in mind that they did beat us last time we played them 2 years ago. And with Air Force, you know, the Air Force, we should have beat them last year. We just had some stupid mistakes that cost us the game. And so I expect us to beat them and to beat them solidly. I don't think it's going to come down to, like, the last couple minutes. I think that we'll have a couple touchdown lead by the end of the game, or 10 to 14 point lead.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But then we turn around, we have to play at Boise State.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is going to be, you know, the toughest game other than USC to beat or to win. But at the same time, like, I'm confident. I think that we can and will win that game.
Yeah. It certainly is a winnable game. Like I said, it will be really tough. But I think with most of these games, it is definitely within the range of possibility to win. Because, you know, based on the fact that, you know, we did blow up Boise State last year, and obviously, you know, going back to their place where they blew us out a few years back. But, you know, I don't think it'll follow that trend of blowing each other out in the home stadium. I do think that we can be competitive.
Yeah, and obviously it's a tough place to play. They've got the highest, or at least one of the highest, win percentages at home. I think it is the highest. But, you know, with that in mind, I mean, obviously it's going to be tough to beat them. But I think we can do it. And also, I do want to mention that they're going to be playing us. That's going to be a week after they play at Oregon State. And I think that they're going to lose. So this is how the thing goes. Like, a bunch of people have them going undefeated. I don't, because I have them winning their first week against UL Lafayette. But then they play against Washington State, who I think is a lot better than people give them credit for, especially on offense. They're amazing on offense. Their defense needs some work, but I think they're going to be able, they're going to surprise everyone and get that win. And then they have a bye week, and then they play at Oregon State. And, you know, Oregon State has Gary Anderson. You know, he used to be our coach, so he's familiar with Boise State. And, you know, also, you know, they're really tough to play in Corvallis, no matter how good their team is. But I do think their team will be greatly improved over last year. But I think they're going to lose those two, and then they're going to turn around and have to play us. And I think they'll just kind of be like beating on someone who's down, I guess.
Yeah, kick them all down, especially if they lose big, perhaps.
Yeah. And then after that, I think that they went out, I think. But I think – or went out or lose maybe one more. But, yeah, I think they end up 9-3. So, I mean, for me, I don't think they go undefeated. And also, that's another reason why I think that we'll have a good chance against them, is because they're going to come against a really tough game against Oregon State the week before. And, yeah, for me, I think that that's going to be good. And going back to the USC game, USC, you know, they, obviously they're a tough team to beat, but this is a trap game for them, their game against us. And I will tell you why. So, week one, they play against Alabama in Texas.
That'll be an exciting game.
Yeah, it will. And so they're playing them. Obviously, that's going to be their big focus. And then they will play us, and then the next week they have to go to Stanford. And Stanford is one of the, like, is the top team in the Pac-12. They were last year. I expect them to be again. They're a really good team. But, and they're also a team that has beaten USC consistently over the last few years. So for me, it's like, you got Alabama, and then afterwards, you know, you play against this measly Utah State team that, you know, you've never lost to. And then you go against Stanford the week after, and that's one of your biggest rivals and one of your biggest games of the season. So obviously they're going to be thinking about Stanford. I mean, They'll probably say that they're going to be focusing on us, but for us, we're not really a threat in their mind, I don't think. And so they could come out flat, and we could end up stealing away a game. Now, that there's a good chance that doesn't happen, but there's a chance it does happen, because it is a trap game. it's going to be, it's, we're wedged in between two really big games for them that they might not focus on us, and they might end up starting the season 0-3.
Yeah.
That, how crazy would that be?
That would be crazy, but it's not unheard of to see teams just kind of fall flat on their face after expecting to be really good.
Yeah. Well, they definitely have the talent, but they have found ways to underperform in the past, so it could happen again.
Yeah, it depends.
But moving on, you know, after Boise State, we play Colorado State. I think that's another game that we win. We're playing there this time.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll win.
Yeah, I think we're better than them, and so, you know.
They're another team that is pretty good, but I still expect us to be better.
Yeah, when you're better, you should win, even if you're playing at their place.
Yeah. Then we've got Fresno State, who last year was atrocious, but they also were battling with a bunch of injuries. And their coach, even when we talked to him, is he was saying that they just had a really hard time because of all the injuries, and they lost like three quarterbacks or something. And he said that our coach knew how that was because a couple years ago we were on our fourth string quarterback by the end of the year. So they were pretty injured, and so if they stay healthy, I think they'll be much improved. But I still expect us to beat them pretty easily here at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though they will be better, they're still not as good as they were a couple of years ago because they don't have Derek Carr anymore. Like, he's no longer their quarterback. He really helped them out a lot.
Yeah. And I guess the next one is another interesting. We have San Diego State, and so media picked them to finish first in their division. They got all 29 first place votes, and so I mean we're playing them at home, and I know San Diego State, they're returning a lot of their players, and one thing, when you look at the all conference projections, San Diego State had the most of
Swept the offensive and defensive player of the year and the special teams player of the year in the preseason thing, so
yeah,
I mean they have a really good running back in Pumphrey, and there, I think it was a cornerback that was their defensive player, but I think that people are buying into them a little bit too much. I mean, they were a good team last year. They definitely showed us up down there because we went in overconfident and just didn't perform at all. So we lost 48-14, and it was a really, really terrible game to watch. But yeah, they're slotted to win the West Division according to their preseason predictions. And I would agree with that. I think that they will win that because, to me, the West Division is pretty atrocious. They're not very good overall. Like, most of the teams are pretty bad. I mean, Nevada right here is picked to win, get second place, and they were only an average team last year. And same with San Jose State. Fresno, UNLV, and Hawaii were all pretty terrible last year. Even Hawaii has a new coach now because of how bad they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the West Division is definitely the weak one. The first five in the Mountain Division, I think, would be five out of the first six in the West. You know, San Diego State is the one team that, you know, is a good team from that side. The other ones, yeah, they're on their rise, but I still think that I wouldn't classify them as good yet. I mean, maybe they'll prove me wrong this year, but I don't see it happening. But yeah, so I'm not surprised by San Diego getting all of them because there wasn't really another option. Their coach is pretty arrogant. At least he came across that way at Mountain West Media Days. It was an interesting interview. It was interesting with the different interviews to see the contrast of personalities between the different coaches. And yeah, he came across as really arrogant and thought that they were the best thing ever, and he expected to be the best team in the Mountain West again, and I don't think they will be. I think they surprised a lot of people last year because they did terrible in non-conference last year, and then they won all their games against the Mountain West. And they did have a good team, but I also don't think they're as good as that record indicated. We are a better team, I believe. Like, We were playing Jekyll and Hyde when we played them, so Hyde showed up, and so we weren't the team that, you know, we thought we were that game. I guess we would say better if we're Dr. Jekyll because we played kind of weak. But they are good at running the ball. Their quarterback's not very good. I think if like you can slow down the run enough or get ahead, they're going to have a hard time coming back. I just think they're too one-dimensional to really have the success that they did last year. I feel like it was more of like a one-hit wonder thing. They will be good. I think that they will lose a couple games against other Mountain West teams. I'm going to pull up their schedule really quick because I have to see they're playing. They'll probably lose to California early in the season, but when they play, I think they'll lose to us. I think they lose to Colorado State maybe, but they don't play Boise State this year, so I guess that's their positive.
Yeah, I think they're definitely their conference schedule would be favorable if they're playing all the teams in the West as opposed to a tougher Mountain schedule.
Yeah, so I mean they're playing from the West, from the Mountain, they're playing us, Wyoming, and Colorado State. So
yeah, you got Wyoming who finished last. Wyoming is terrible. Last. Yeah,
they have a great running back, but they are terrible.
Yeah, the Wyoming running back was like, he was one of the preseason all-conference, and I think they had one other player somewhere. But other than that, they probably got not a whole lot.
Yeah, so I guess their conference schedule is pretty easy. They will probably end up with almost a similar ranking as they did last year. I fully expect us to beat them at home this year. Maybe it's because I'm really, I guess,
overconfident, optimistic.
Over-optimistic. Not necessarily overconfident, but over-optimistic that we're going to be, you know, the team that we've shown we can be for a lot of the time. Like the first half of last season, we had our ups and downs, but we started to do really well and played Boise State and just had an awesome game where we forced them to turn it over like 8 times, like 7 in the first half, and we were up like 35-10 at halftime. And in the second half, we just kind of ran out the clock, really. But then after that, we played up and down the rest of the way. And so as long as, like, we have the team that comes and means business, and I think that we will be, I think that we're going to be a really good team. Like, we did lose some good players on defense, a lot of them. We lost Hunter Sharp, who was basically our one really impactful receiver. He was the only one that had more than like 300 yards receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we'll be able to replace them. I mean, on the one side, we've got Ray Lewis's son is going to be a receiver for us, so
see how he does.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. Maybe he doesn't play this year, never know. But I'm confident that we'll be pretty good on offense. We will need some time on defense to get together. Because of all the new faces, you got to get used to playing with each other on defense, especially because it's harder to simulate a game or to like get on the same page without playing a game. With offense, you can run plays, and so you know kind of like what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier, I think, for offense to be used to playing with each other than it is for defense. But I think that we'll be good. I think that we'll be really good, actually.
Yeah, not. I think we'll be pretty good, too. Yeah, like I said, the questions are in the receiving core and in the front seven. And if those two come together, then, yeah, we're definitely one of the best teams in the conference, really without question, because we've got the other pieces.
Yeah. So I am predicting that we beat San Diego State at home. Then we play at Wyoming, which it'll be cold, but it should be another game where we easily win that one because Wyoming, I think, is still a couple years out from really competing with people. Their coach is a really cool guy. He talked about, you know, how the way he's doing it is because they're rebuilding and he knows it. And he's just saying, like, they're not just looking for any guys to come. They're, like, are looking for guys that, like, the motto they use is Cowboy Strong. And, like, he tells them straight up, he's, like, he's completely honest with them. He's, like, you know, this is going to be tough for a little bit, but, like, if you come and work, then we're going to be good in a couple years. And I think that they will be. I think that they're still another year or two out. But they definitely are on the upward, right, like the upward trend. I don't think they'll be as easy to beat for everyone this year, but I still think that they lose almost all their games. But they won't be as bad as last year, I don't think. But like we mentioned, they do have a really good running back. And look for him to be able to carry the team a lot. With New Mexico, that was a game that
we're going to come out, and I think we're going to steamroll them because we're upset about how we played against them last year. Because it was just an awful, awful game. And we lost to them 14-13. And it was just ugly. And we shouldn't have lost that game. We gave up a touchdown of like 86 yards or something like that. And their coach is pretty proud of the fact that they had some of the longest pass touchdowns in the league last year, or in the country. But it's just really a matter of luck that they don't pass the ball very often. They're a run-heavy team. And they just surprise people at times. And so I think he thinks that their passing game is a lot better than it actually is. But anyway, they did beat us. We should have beat them, but we lost them. They're going to come play us at home. And I think that we just run up the score on them a little bit because, you know, revenge.
Yeah, just get back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Nevada, team that is decent now. They're not great. I expect us to win that one easily. It won't necessarily be a blowout, but I think a couple touchdown win. A
comfortable win.
Yeah. They played us competitively last year for the first half, and then we pulled away in the second half. I expect a similar thing this year. They are a team that's on the rise, but they're not a team that I think is good, per se. Like, not in that. They're, like, okay. So, basically, I've got, like, great teams, good teams, okay teams, subpar teams, and bad teams. You know, Wyoming, I still feel, falls under the bad teams. New Mexico, I'd say, is an average team. Nevada, average. And then San Diego State, say, is a good team. I wouldn't say that they're a great team. Boise State, I think, is a great team. And we'll definitely have our work cut out for us to beat them at home. So, at their place. At their home, I should specify.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then closing out the season, BYU.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Or shall we say YBU?
YBU.
Win or lose, they still have to live in Provo.
Yeah.
We're going to want some revenge. Yeah. Because last year was just awful. Because, like, we were controlling the game, and we were up 21-10 with just, like, a few minutes left in the first half. And so we're, like, going to go in up 21-10 at halftime against BYU. Well, then we decide to not cover Mitch Matthews, their best receiver, and just let him get wide open and get 80-yard touchdown pass. So that brings it to 17-21. And then, like, on the next drive, it was... And that was with, like, less than a minute left, they scored that or whatever. Or maybe it wasn't quite that soon, but it was, like, about 2 minutes, I think. Anyway, we've got, like, 30 seconds left. Chucky jobs back to pass, and he, like, moves around. And somehow he just loses the ball and drops it on the ground. And their defensive guy picked it up, runs it in as time expires to give them a 24-21 lead. And if you don't think that cost us the game, you're crazy. They came out and dominated us the second half. I think that we broke our own will by those two plays. And then also, there was another one where, and this was in the second half, I believe, we were going for a field goal. And our guy, our kicker, and this is something we've had issues with a lot as our kickers, but our kicker kicked the ball, and it was so low that it was easy for them to block it, and they returned it to, like, the 4-yard line. And it was just awful. You know, those three plays were huge in changing momentum, and we just got down and just kept letting them beat up on us. I think that we're going to come back with a vengeance. I don't feel like they were a better team last year. We just had a terrible day. So I expect us to come back and, you know, beat them down there.
Yeah, it is a rivalry game, and so you always tend to come out, you know, better. And, I mean, it is the end of the season, so you'll wonder how each team lines up, if, you know, if they're healthy, if they've had a good season. I mean, BYU, they've got one of the most ridiculous schedules I've seen in a while.
I don't think they're going to be bowl eligible next year, and that's another reason why I think that we're going to be able to beat them.
Yeah.
Because I've gone over this before, but I think they start out their season 0-4, then they'll win one, and then lose three more, then they'll win three, and then they'll lose to us. So I have them finishing 4-8.
Yeah, that'll be
the worst. Like, if they're sitting at 4-7, do you think they're really going to, like, have the energy to get up for that game, even? Especially where it's not a rivalry, if you ask any BYU fan.
Yeah, it's...
But that's what you expect from BYU fans.
Yeah.
They just... They're kind of... They're very uneducated, I would say. A lot of them. Not all of them, obviously. But there are a lot of BYU fans that just think that their team is the greatest thing ever, and that, you know, no one, you know, they're rivals with Utah, they'll admit that, but they won't admit that they're rivals with us because we're a little brother and we're not as good as them, except that we've been trading wins for the last, like, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
On both basketball and football.
Well, I think they're trying to get on us because they're basically almost getting the same treatment from Utah. Yeah. In a sense where Utah is almost trying to pull that same stunt with BYU, saying, oh, now you guys are all behind us because we're in the mighty Pac-12.
Well, that, and because BYU hasn't beat Utah in the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in football, anyway. Yeah. I think they're lost their last 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And for Utah, like, you're in the Pac-12, you need... Sometimes you want to play a really tough non-conference schedule. You know, if BYU is going to be a win for you every time, like, is it really... Are you really stretching yourself by playing them? Like, yeah. I see it from Utah's perspective. BYU hasn't been near as good as them the last several times they've played each other. So, I mean, last year in the bowl game was really weird when they ended up playing each other in the Las Vegas Bowl. But, you know, Utah came out dominating. They were up 35-0 in the first quarter because, you know, they just capitalized on everything that BYU did. And then, you know, you could tell that their offense wasn't as good. And so that kind of made them struggle a little bit in the second half. And BYU almost came back. But
yeah,
still, like, that's the thing is, like, Utah's defense is so good that their offense was kind of average. And yeah, they still were okay.
That's the way it's been for several years. They haven't had the greatest offense, but they've had really great defense.
Yeah.
Which is strange for the Pac-12, considering it's a pretty offense-heavy conference.
Yeah, and at times they've shown flashes that they can play at that high level on offense as well. But, yeah, for the most part, they have struggled to do that. But I think that they'll figure it out. I think maybe – I mean, I don't know who the quarterback is going to be or how he is because they're having a new guy this year. But I expect them to be a little bit better on offense. They're like those two teams they're playing week two. Like when we're playing USC, they're going to be playing at Utah. BYU is, and so you get the Holy War renewed. And I think that Utah just wipes the floor with them.
Yeah, and it's a shame that rivalries like that end up happening in like the first four games. I really like that we're playing them the last game of the season way it typically is. You know, you get rivalry weeks, like it's the culmination of an entire season where you finally get to go up and play your rival.
Yeah, for sure. And but I mean, it's going back, like, it is, like, now they're not in the same conference, you don't have that flexibility to just play them at the last week.
Yeah, that's why it surprised me to see BYU at the end of the schedule, because, like, yeah, you...
Well, because, I mean, we can plan it because we're not one of the big conferences.
Yeah.
And they're an independent, so they
obviously BYU can do whatever anywhere.
But, yeah, like, so BYU this year is playing Arizona, Utah, UCLA, West Virginia, then Toledo, which I think is going to be their first win. And then they play at Michigan State, against Mississippi State, at Boise State. And then they play at Cincinnati, against Southern Utah, against UMass. Which UMass is a joke. That's a layup game for them. And so that is another reason they might come out flat, is because they just played a high school team the week before. And then they play us at last game of the season. But, I mean...
Yeah, that is just an absolutely crazy schedule.
At Arizona and at Utah to start out. Then home against UCLA, who I think will handle them. Then in Maryland against West Virginia. It's supposed to be a neutral site game, but really it's
basically you go back home east, game. Play a back east team. That's not a neutral site.
I mean, it's not their home field, but it's still like a home game for them.
It's like when they played Oklahoma in the Dallas Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except they won that game.
Yeah, that was a surprise. They are capable of competing with these teams. I don't see it from this team this year.
Yeah.
They lost Mitch Matthews. They're still having some controversies with
quarterback situation because Taysom is back. And I mean, I thought he was going to be graduating, but I guess he's not. But either way, like, yeah. I see us as winning that game against them. I think that they're going to be down. They might even lose to Cincinnati and be 3-7 when they play us, or 3-8, I mean, and finish out 3-9. And I would just be really happy about that because I really like when BYU loses.
Yeah. I don't hate BYU as much. I mean, a lot of my family are BYU, went to BYU, so I don't dislike them as much. But I still, you know, love Utah State, and so by virtue, I have to at least sort of dislike BYU.
Yeah. Like, I don't hate BYU. I really dislike their teams because, especially their football team, I really don't like their football team because of, like, last year, I don't know if you saw this, but they were just, like, cheap-shotting people left and right every week.
Hashtag Thug Mormon.
Yeah. No, really, though, like, the first week they played against, I think it was Nebraska was their first week, but there was two different times. There was one where one of their defenders tackled someone and then, like, twisted his whole body to try to twist the guy's leg. It was, like, clear. It was, like, on camera. And then there was another one where their quarterback threw a pass, and he overthrew his receiver, and the BYU guy took, like, two steps after that and dove and rolled into the guy's leg. And I think because of that, he got injured and was out the rest of the season.
Dang.
And if you're a BYU fan and you try to defend that, that's ridiculous. Because, yeah, I mean, every time that I bring up why I don't like BYU football because of stuff like that, I really hope that they're going to put that behind them and not do that anymore, and then I won't dislike them as much. But anytime I talk to my dad, who's a big BYU fan, he's always like, well, all teams play dirty, and it's like, but not as consistently. You know, there's some dirty plays occasionally, but BYU was doing it every week.
Yeah. I think the thing is, there's dirty players, not necessarily dirty teams. And if you have the whole team that's playing that way, then
yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah, and really, I mean, that's what they were. It wasn't one guy that was doing all this. There were a lot of different guys. And obviously, it wasn't the whole team, but there were several guys. And so it's like, is that the culture that you think that's okay on that team? And maybe that's what they were thinking. And
yeah,
among themselves, they're like, yeah, that's okay that we do this. I'm not saying that Coach Mendenhall was kind of embracing that or whatever. But now they've got Coach Kalani Sitake, who was at Utah. And I really hope that he, like, really pushes them into them. Like, look, you guys can't do this anymore. You can't keep cheap-shotting people. Because even in the game against us, you know, Devontae Mays was running the ball, and you could see quite clearly that one of their linebackers, Harvey Lingy, was punching him in the side multiple times. Like, you could say, oh, he was going for the ball. It's like, you think he missed? Like, it wasn't even close to the ball. The ball's up here, and he's punching him down here in the side. He's not trying to punch the ball out. He's just being a dick.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so for me, there was stuff like that almost every week. So much so that even someone that was writing either for the UCLA student newspaper or, like, a newspaper that was there about UCLA or maybe... Anyway, the situation is this guy, he wrote this article about why, you know, teams don't want to play BYU because, you know, they have this, like, they play dirty and teams don't want to, like, get injured on something stupid where the other team is playing dirty. And like I said, I'm pretty sure that Nebraska guy was out for the whole season because of that cheap shot. And you could say, oh, well, he tripped. It's like, no, he was running fine and he dove down and rolled into the guy.
Yeah, there's a difference between tripping and diving.
Yeah, and it was obvious to me. I guess, you know, a lot of BYU fans will have the in their mind that, you know, this they have some other weird idea in their mind, but it was obvious to me, and I think it was obvious to everybody except BYU fans that was going on. But there were other examples throughout the year. I think it was about at least half their games there was, like, obvious examples. There was the game against Boise State last year. You know, I think their quarterback or somebody fumbled the ball and their offensive lineman jumped on it. The BYU offensive lineman, he jumped on it, and And this Boise State player, he dove in. He was a bit late, yeah. It was the other guy already had possession, but he was trying to get the try to steal the ball out, even yeah. though I think they had already ruled that it was BYU's ball still. Mm-hmm. But their lineman took a total like crotch shot, punches him while he's doing it, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, I understand you'd be annoyed that he was jumping in there that late and that he shouldn't have. The Boise State player shouldn't have, absolutely. But to take a cheap shot like that is just, you know, it should never be something that you think about doing. And yeah. at the very least, if you do think about it, don't do it. And I guess the reason why this bugs me so much is because, you know, as a member of the LDS church, like, I think it reflects badly on my church because they are representing the LDS church. And so it drives me nuts when they're setting that kind of, like, message out to everybody. You know, this is what LDS people do.
Yeah, you'd think that with a school that's, like, 99% Mormon, probably most of the football players, you'd think they'd play a little more clean, I guess.
Yeah, you'd think so. And I really hope that they fix this. I really do. I mean, I don't want to have that be a reason that I don't want them to, like, I want them to clean it up because I don't want to dislike them this much.
You want to dislike them because they're beating you, and you want at least be able to respect the team that's beating you.
Yeah.
And say, hey, they were a better team, not, hey, because you played dirty and you injured half our guys.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I had to get some applause in there.
After that glorious... Just because
I found the sound effects thing.
After a glorious speech about how much you dislike BYU.
BYU.
Was that like a boink?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be booing, but it's boing. I thought that was just spelled wrong, so that's my bad.
What was
anyway,
that?
That's boomp. But anyway, yeah, so...
All right.
Moving on, I want to quickly jump into the NFL, some predictions for mm-hmm. how we see it's going to go, because we don't have a ton of time left.
Yeah. So there's just a few, NFL training camps, they started basically over the weekend. I mean, some of them started like July 27th, some of them started the 31st. I mean, just all throughout there. I think pretty much every NFL team has started their training camp officially. So basically wanted to go over, like I said, some predictions. Basically things like we think like best NFL team is, some of the better players, breakout players, you know what teams will kind of drop off a little bit. So let's get into this. So I want to start out with best NFL team in each conference and then overall. So start with the AFC. Who do you think will be the best team in the AFC?
I mean, I have a couple different answers for this one. Because it's really... I have a hard time not putting the Broncos in. I mean, they are my team, and so I do want them to be the best. But I think with a team that is the reigning AFC champion, they kind of have to be your first pick. But I also recognize the Patriots are really good. So, I mean, they are going to be without Tom Brady for the first 4 weeks, so I think that maybe they go like 2-2. I mean, yeah. I'm not looking at their schedule, so I don't know who they're playing. But like Tom Brady is really good, and so... The Patriots are going to be really tough to beat. The Denver defense is extremely good, so they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I think, so I have the New England Patriots, too. I think that it's really going to be by the end of the season, they're going to be the best team. They may not even have the best record, especially considering those first four games. If they have an unfortunate turn, they go like 1-3.
Yeah.
They could end up with like a 10-6, 11-5 record, which is still good, but it might not be the best in the AFC.
Yeah.
But I still think they'll be the best team by virtue of just, you know.
Well, yeah, they've got a lot of really good players. They added even more this offseason. I don't know how they're able to just keep adding talent instead of losing it, but they do. They do a really good job, I hate to say it, because I really don't like the Patriots. But they are a really good team, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they go undefeated when Tom Brady comes back. I think that I really want them to lose against the Broncos, and I think that'll be a flip of a coin who wins that game, because I think it'll be an evenly matched thing again, because you got Denver's defense is so good that they will put them in any game, really. They just need the offense not to be a liability, which even they were at times last year. But I think that the offense will be better than they were last year, despite what people think. Their offense was not good last year. So I have a hard time not picking them because they proved that they were the best team in the AFC last year. And also as a fan, like, I think that I want them to do it. obviously. But I realistically, I do see them as, you know, coming back and being the best team still. Like, a lot of people are discounting them and saying that the Raiders will win the AFC West and all that, and they think that Broncos are going to suddenly be just an average team again. It's like, yeah. Do you realize that they lost two guys from their defense? One, Malik Jackson, he was a role player. He can be replaced. Now, Jenny Trevathan was a really good linebacker. I was sad to see him go, but, you know, that's... He was a big player in that system. He was led the team in tackles. And so it would be tough to replace him, but still they've got all those other great pieces around, and you have some other guys that are another year advanced that they're going to be even better than they were. And so I think that defense will be as good, if not better, than last year. And they were the best in the league last year. And their offense, you know, they mix things up on the offensive line, but, you know, I think the running game is going to get a lot more of a chance this year because they don't have to do that hybrid offense where they do kind of Peyton Manning's thing and kind of Gary Kubiak's system. They're going to run the ball, and I think they're going to do it well because C.J. Anderson does a great job. I also expect Devontae Booker to eventually earn the starting job. I don't think it'll be this year, but he's going to get a lot of carries too, and he's a beast out of Utah. I was excited to see them pick him up in like the fourth round. It was a steal, I think. I think he was a second or first round talent.
Yeah.
So I expect them to run the ball really well. I think that the passing game, they've got two great receivers in Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
That the quarterback doesn't even have to be great, like, for them to have a lot of success this year. Mark Sanchez isn't going to be great, but I think he'll be solid. I mean, we really just need him to be like Alex Smith, where, you know, you just get it to your receivers, let them do the work, and just don't turn over the ball. Like, I think that Alex Smith, if he were on the Broncos, this team would be really tough to beat because he does a great job of not turning over the ball and just managing the team. I think if Mark Sanchez can do that, and he might get replaced partway through the year by Paxton Lynch, but either way, I'm not worried about it. I think the Broncos are still the team to beat.
Yeah. I think, and we might get into this later, I mean, I'm one of those people that think the Broncos are going to take a bit of a step back, mainly because of the quarterback situation. I'm not confident in really anybody on the Broncos.
But the thing offense. About it is last year, you know, you say they lost Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning was terrible last year. He was absolutely abysmal. Like, he ended up throwing 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. He was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brock Osweiler did a pretty good job when he was in there, but he wasn't like this stellar quarterback, whatever. He was still just an average quarterback. And so, yeah, people are pointing to that, but the quarterback play was really suspect last year. So yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I don't trust the quarterbacks. It's like, the quarterbacks, you couldn't trust them last year. And yeah. That's why Brock Osweiler wasn't given the big money by the Broncos. The Texans are taking a chance on him. But, yeah, everyone makes that argument that their quarterback situation isn't going to be as rough. But I still think they don't have to be good. They just have to not turn over the ball.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is a simple enough thing, and I think they'll be fine. Yeah. I mean, they might have a couple of games that are caught, like that Mark Sanchez cost them because of a turnover. But last year, like I said, the Broncos led the league in interceptions, like, that they threw. And the defense was constantly starting in their, like, in their own territory. And they forced them to kick field goals all the time. So, for me, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. And we'll see. They'll probably do better than I think they will.
Yeah.
But
I think that's how it is for most people. It's like, most people think they're going to be, like, like 8-8, 9-6, 9-7 maybe.
I had somebody put in going, like, 6-10. That's what I saw somebody do.
Yeah, whoever did that is crazy.
It was Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd is an idiot sometimes.
He also had the Raiders going 10-6, but
yeah, and that could happen with the Raiders. Yeah. I think the Raiders will be pretty good. Yeah. In the NFC, though, I do have the Seahawks as the team to beat.
Yeah, I had the Arizona Cardinals. I had them as
Arizona Cardinals do have a lot of talent. I don't trust Carson Palmer. He's getting up there in age. He had a really good season last year, but he really faded down the stretch. You know, he wasn't very good the last few weeks. He was abysmal in the NFC Championship game. just awful.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I feel like something like that's going to happen again. They do have a lot of talent around him, but...
Yeah. That is something else. One of the things they got was they got Chandler Jones from the New England Patriots, who was, like, their best pass rusher.
Yeah.
That'll certainly help the defense, but I do think that, yeah, if Carson Palmer fades, then, you know, that'll really hurt, and especially with Larry Fitzgerald. He's getting up there in age, too.
Yeah, but he had a breakout year last year. He did awesome. But that one catch and run in the playoffs was just sick. It was awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it will be interesting with the Cardinals versus the Seahawks. But anyway, moving on, because we're still running out of time. The worst team in the NFL, I have the Cleveland Browns.
I also have the Cleveland Browns. They have so many holes in their team.
And they let a lot of guys go, and I think they did that sort of on purpose, trying to rebuild a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
And I hope that they continue with their thing where they aren't going to draft quarterbacks in the first round. Like, this last year, you thought they would, but they didn't. I thought that was really good, because the thing with Cleveland is they always think that if they can just draft this quarterback, it's going to save their team. And it's like, you have to have some pieces around the quarterback or it's not going to matter. And so I think that they should keep that up and don't draft a quarterback again this year. I think that they got a steal in the USC quarterback. I'm blanking on his name. Or Sam... Matt Cast... No. I'm blanking on his name. Anyway... The quarterback that they did draft in, like, the fourth round, I think that he's going to be a good guy for them. Yeah. I think that he eventually becomes their starting quarterback. I don't think they should rush him into it.
Yeah. They're kicking the tires in RG3. I don't think that'll go anywhere, but...
Yeah, I'm torn on that one. I think that he could, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, next one, the team with the biggest improvement. I feel like I took a really easy one. I picked the Dallas Cowboys. They went 4-12 last season. Yeah,
and that when you had said that one, like I have a few different answers, but yeah, if we're going by record, I think the Dallas Cowboys is an easy one because they went 4-12, and with the Romo back, I think that they make it to the playoffs. So I think that they win 6 more games this year.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a big improvement. Miami is another team that I thought of, because I think that Adam Gase is really going to, you know, fix their offense. And I think that they're going to be a lot better. I mean, they're still not going to be an elite team, at least not yet. But they're going to be much improved. I think that they'll be on the border of making the playoffs. But it's not really, as far as the record goes, not a huge improvement. Yeah. I think that they'll be good.
I think one of the biggest holes for the Dolphins is the fact they have, like, no run game. And they actually lost their starting running back. I do think that the coach, if he can help fix Ryan Tannehill, then that'll be pretty big.
But yeah, and I think he will. And I actually have him as being my breakout player, because I think Adam Gase has done wonders. Like, last year... He rejuvenated Jay Cutler and made him, you know, a respectable quarterback again. I think he'll do the same with Tannehill. He's a great, great offensive mind, and he knows how to help the quarterbacks become even better.
Yeah.
He was the guy that was behind the record-setting passing year for the Broncos a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Did an awesome job.
Yeah. So the breakout player I have is DeMarco Murray. And maybe not breakout, but he had like 700 yards last year. He's going to the Titans. And they're going to be in a much more run-oriented offense, or in a better system for him than he was with the Eagles.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me when he signed with the Eagles.
Yeah.
So it's good that he's not there anymore, for him anyway.
Yeah, and so I think he's still a good player, and if he can stay healthy, even though the Titans are still a mediocre team, you know, DeMarco Murray will still get, you know, his dues and probably break 1,000 yards this season, if not more.
He should, and I have a hard time like thinking of him as a breakout player because... You know, 2 years ago, he led the NFL in rushing yards.
Yeah.
He was the best runner. But then he obviously didn't do so hot at the Eagles. But I think that was more of the coaching, like mismanagement. But it's
more of a re-breakout, I guess.
But even with that, I think he's going to get lose his job to
Derrick
Henry.
Yeah, they drafted the guy. So that is his one competition. And so
I think they had another guy too. I'm blanking on it, but I feel like they had somebody else that was also a decent guy. But maybe that was something else. But either way, he should have a good year this year.
All right, so the next
one. I think he will eventually lose the job, though.
Yeah, eventually. So the next one, Rookie of the Year.
What's the biggest drop-off?
Oh, biggest drop-off?
Sorry, we leapfrogged that because I was talking about it. But also, before we jump into that, also most improved, Baltimore was another one. they were decimated by injuries last year, so they didn't look very good. But I think that they're going to come back and be like playoff or borderline playoff team this year. Yeah. And also Jacksonville, I think, is going to take a big step forward.
Yeah, they
because they have a lot of young talent.
Yeah, and I think the other one we brush on, the Raiders, are one that a lot of people are looking to make a big improvement.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I was going to put them, but they were really close to making it to the playoffs already. They were 7-9, I think. And I think they're going to win a couple more games this year. They are going to be good. They're finally going to be, I think, a decent rival for the Broncos because they haven't been for years. But I'm kind of worried that they might beat the Broncos, but I still think the Broncos have the better team. But, yeah, so for the biggest drop-off, who do you think?
I don't know. I had the Broncos mainly because of all the losses and all those different things. Yeah. But I just think that all the shakeup with the losses on defense, and, yeah, they might be replaceable players, but they're still good players, and you don't reload that easily. And just, again, with the quarterback situation, again, I think they'll take a bit of a step back.
Yeah, I definitely disagree with that. I mean, I think I made that clear already. But
yeah,
for defense, they lost one guy that is going to be tough to replace. I don't think Malik Jackson is that tough to replace. They do have some good backup defensive ends that I think will be able to step in and be almost as good. Maybe not quite as good. But he wasn't – he was just a role player for them. He wasn't like their star or anything. They've got – their stars are obviously Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, and then the secondary is just fantastic. So I'm not worried about that. Quarterback situation, it's hard to say you take a step back from having the worst quarterbacking unit in the league last year. Yeah. Well, I guess they weren't the worst. I think the Rams were the worst. But anyway, moving on to best rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had Ezekiel Elliott. I just think the fact that he's already really talented and the fact that he's going to Dallas, who has the best offensive line in the league, it's hard to argue that, you know, Elliott may not necessarily be the absolute best rookie even down the line, but he's probably going to put up the best rookie numbers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did an offensive and defensive rookie of the year, so I think it'll be either the offensive will be either Ezekiel Elliott or Jared Goff. That depends if Elliott goes down. I don't know that he has like a pass with injuries, but I just feel like he could go down sometime during the season and kind of derail it. But he's set up for success. Like you said, they have the best offensive line. They're really good at running the ball. You put him in there, he's very talented. I think he's primed to be the star rookie. Jared Goff is also going to go out in and start for the Rams, and I think he's a really good quarterback, and I think that he'll do a good job.
Yeah, so he'll have a good chance.
Yeah, and on the defensive side, I have Miles Jack or Jalen Ramsey. They're two guys that were both drafted by the Jaguars, and I think both of those were steal picks for them because Jalen Ramsey, probably the most talented guy in the draft. He's a shut down cornerback. He's going to come in immediately and contribute to that defense and probably be the best guy on the defense. And Miles Jack is a fantastic linebacker, but he fell because of concerns about his, like, how long he's going to be able to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
But they got him in like the third round or something, or maybe it was the second. But either way, like, he should have been a first-round talent, maybe top 10.
Yeah.
He's top 10 talent, but they had injury concerns, and so he fell.
Isn't Miles Jack going to be out for the season?
I don't think so. If he is, then obviously he's not going to win that. But I don't think I heard that, but I guess I'd have to look it up.
They had some guy, I think their first-round pick from last year.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah, Dante Fowler.
Yeah, and so that'll actually be a good thing for them. But yeah, I think Miles Jack might be out for a while, maybe. I can't remember. I remember I was writing some stuff on that.
I don't know, we could look that up. But anyway, so I think that it'll probably be Jalen Ramsey because I think he'll have a big impact from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then for MVP?
I have Aaron Rodgers because I don't think Brady will win it because of the four games. And again, he's going in age, so he might not put up the numbers. I don't see Cam Newton repeating his performance. Maybe I'm just pessimistic about anybody not named Tom Brady.
I don't see it either.
But yeah, I think it'll be rough for him to repeat what he did last year. I just think Aaron Rodgers is set up because last year with injuries and stuff, he had a down year, and he's coming back. He's still one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in the league, and he's got the pieces around him. I think he'll have an MVP caliber season.
Yeah, I've got either Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger because that passing attack in Pittsburgh is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, they are going to be down a guy with Martavis Bryant being out. So I think that's why I'm more hesitant on it. But you've got the best wide receiver in the league with Antonio Brown.
So they're going to air it out.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do an amazing job. That's going to be a very scary team. I also have the other one is Tom Brady, because I think that you'll see the difference between with Brady being on the Patriots and with him not being on it because of the suspension. And I think that he's going to dominate enough like the rest of the year that people are going to be like, yeah, you know, he really, really changed how good that team was.
Yeah.
And so I could see him getting it again. I think he's the best player in the league. Cam Newton, I'm with you. Like, I don't see him being as good. I think that it was kind of the whole thing with that every time you have something new in the NFL, like, they have a year where it just works really well. Like, with the Wildcat, worked really well for about a year. Then afterwards, it was shut down because they were able to game plan, figure it out how to stop it. I think a similar thing is going to happen with Cam Newton. And even, like, you can look at the Super Bowl and see what the Broncos did to Cam Newton to completely shut him down.
I think his name was Von Miller or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, they gave, like, the blueprint to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you do to stop the Panthers. And, obviously, you have to have the talent to do that. But I don't think he's going to be as good. He'll still be a good quarterback, but he's not going to be the best player in the league good.
And I think you've already kind of seen it because his rookie year, he had a similar deal where he was really good as a rookie, set a few records, I think, for rushing, and then he fell off for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And I guess he kind of found a resurgence. But anyway, I think we're out of time.
We are. We're actually over time. So it's a good thing that one's after us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to check out, re-listen to this show, I'm going to post it online within, like, the next 5 minutes, and you can go on and check it out. Also, tune in tomorrow to the bullpen. I might be on here for a minute, but then I'm leaving. So Evan will be here and maybe somebody else. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But, yeah, tune in every day of the week at 9 for sports. So I want to thank you guys for listening, and have a good one. And I want to push the applause button again, and then afterwards I'll tell you what we're going to listen to.